Today's Shi'ez Masechta Bava Basra Daf Kovav. We will begin Be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kovav Oman Aleph. We have been learning in our Shiurim how when somebody sells a property, the wording that's used has a very significant meaning towards what happens if the amount that was supposed to be sold wasn't exactly the amount that was sold. The Gemara taught us that if somebody used the word base kor after the Gemara's back and forth, there's a discrepancy of a roiva for every saw. There's certainly, if the words hein chaser, hein yoser were used, there's room for that type of discrepancy. The question is, if it was clear, if the words mida b'chevel were used, where it was clear that there's an expectation to get exactly as much as was supposed to be delivered, then under those circumstances, the halacha will be that you have to get exactly what was delivered. And our Mishnah continues with another example of a discrepancy accompanied with certain type of words and a discussion, what is the halacha on the, if that's what happened. So says the Gemara, b'simonav u'b'meitzarav, if somebody sold a field based kor of ani meichalach, as we keep on learning the situations that there's a base kor that's being sold, and it was identified with its simonim, with markers, with borders, there, now the Mishnah teaches us that the formula for discrepancy that we've been learning throughout changes. And the loch is pachs mishtus, if it's less than a sixth of than what was supposed to be delivered, kibel, higioi, the deal stands. Achtus, but if there was more than that, yanaka, that we have to deduct the amount that was of the discrepancy. So then, number of pshatim and rishonim, how to approach this Mishnah. Because the obvious question is that we've been learning about a certain number throughout our perek, and all of a sudden today, we find a new shir. We find the shir of shtus. So most Rishonim are of the opinion that the shtus is a larger discrepancy than the roival saw. And the reason is that the Rashbam explains, because if somebody says, Beis kor ani ofer ani meichalach, as we mentioned a moment ago, automatically that gives you the right to, for that discrepancy. By this person adding b'tzimonim u'b'meitzarav ani meichalach, what he's saying is that I even have a right for a larger discrepancy. And what is the discrepancy? Up to a shtus. Moreover, the Sma, in explaining the opinion of the Rashbam, says that the person who's buying this property is standing in the property. And many times we've discussed in our shurim through these sugyas that when you're standing in the property, that means you recognize where you're standing and you accept where you're standing, and therefore your right to complain diminishes. And therefore, says the Rashbam, with the explanation of the Sma, since he used the words Beis kor ani meichalach, and he said b'simonav, and the buyer was standing in the property where he was able to see exactly what he's getting, that's why he leaves up a shtus. The Ravid has a different approach. He says that the person who said that the buyer bought this property, and the Mishnah is speaking about that, again, he knows what he's getting into. And since he knows what he's getting into, he doesn't have to be there. He's accepting it. But there's a different approach that the Rimigash has. And the Rimigash actually says that our Mishnah represents a chumrah over the case of Hein Chaser V'Hein Yoser. Whereas, says the Rimigash, in all the cases that we had until now, the shear was a roiv l'kav. Today, the shear of a shtus, the Rimagas says, is actually less than a roi v'lekav. And the way the Rimagas explains the Gemara is because this, the Mishnah, because this person was in the field and he was given very, very clear instructions, very clear description, therefore the shear changes and the shear will be only a sixth. So he has an approach that takes a whole different approach. Then there's another machloikus rishonim here. We've learned in many of the examples that we've been speaking in our shiurim that, yes, there is a certain level of discrepancy which the halacha accepts. But what's going to be the halacha if it's above that level of discrepancy? So the Mishnayos have told us that once it was above the level of acceptable discrepancy, you get back everything. It went both directions. And here too, there's a machlokes rishonim. Most rishonim seem to learn that once it's above the acceptable level, once it's above the acceptable level, the halacha is that's the amount that you give back everything. And that will be the case here as well regarding the sixth. However, there's some that suggest that in this case, the halacha will be that once it's above the amount that is, once it's above the amount, it's only the amount that's above that will be given back, but the shtus will always remain. And again, because the wording of our Mishnah and the situation where he's standing in the field in our Mishnah is so very different than all the other cases that we've been learning until now, that's why it changes how we approach this. Itmar. So now the Gemara discusses, we spoke about a sixth. And the question is, how do we view this? There's also, of course, a discussion, where does the number a sixth come from? The Yad Ramah, his approach to it is quite simple and to be expected, that it's connected to Aynah, where every time we learn the halachas of Aynah, we know that the number we use is a sixth. The Rashbam doesn't agree, because as we also have discussed many times, there's no halacha of Aynah by property, and here we're speaking about property. Rather, explain the Achroinim in explaining the opinion of Rashbam, the way to view our Mishnah is that our Mishnah is, and maybe we could say this about all of the Mishnais that we've been learning about this situation, is estimating, Chazal are estimating what is an acceptable level of error and what is not an acceptable level of error, and that's how it's approaching this question. Etmar, so begins the Gemara, Rav Huna Omar, Rav Huna's opinion is shtus, if it's exactly a sixth discrepancy, the halacha will be kibach mishtus. It's treated less than a sixth, and the deal stands. Rav Yudaimer, shtus kiyos mishtus. When it's a sixth, it's treated like more than a sixth, and therefore if the buyer got more than he was supposed to, he'll have to pay for it. And if the seller gave less than he was supposed to, a sixth already less than he was supposed to, he'll have to pay back for that discrepancy. And the Gemara explains. Rav Huna mishtus, kepach mishtus. Rav Huna says that when a sixth is treated like less than a sixth, hachikamer. And he says that even though the Mishnah used the word pach mishtus, and the question is, if a shtus is the same as pach mishtus, why did the Mishnah speak about a pach mishtus? Should not the Mishnah have spoken about a shtus, a ishtus? Hachikamer, pach mishtus, vishtus, bechlal higiyoy. If it's a shtus, or the equivalent of a shtus, if it's less than a shtus or a shtus, then the deal will stand as is. However, yoisim shtus, if it's more than a shtus, then yanaka, we have to deal with that discrepancy. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, shtus ki yoisim shtus, vachkama. And this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Pach shtus, if it was less than a shtus, higiyoy, the deal will stand. At shtus, but if it's a shtus, and certainly Achtos, if it's more than a shtus, v'shtus b'chlal, or even just a shtus, then yanaka, that's already cause to disrupt the deal. The pasuk says v'chisimkur memka l'misecha, that the Torah is teaching us, says the sefer Chemdas Hayamim, that when somebody says something to somebody else, if we have to sell it in a way that both people should be able to say that we did a good deal here. And that's what the Torah says. V'chisimcha memka l'ramsecha. Don't sell something which is only lamisecha, which is only good for the buyer. And also, v'chisimcha memka, it should be something that's good for both people. In other words, what the Torah teaches us, and that he says is what our Mishnah is teaching us, that whenever we come into a transaction, we should be careful that the transaction should be done in a way that everybody goes home happy. And if not, that's not what the Torah wants to see in a transaction. Meisvei. So ask the Gemara. We're going to Mitzvah. We actually learned in Masechta Ksubos. Meisvei, the Braisa teaches us. There was somebody selling a base core, b'simanav mitzarev, again, the example that we speak about, where the borders and the simanav were identified. Pichashtus or hoishashtus, if it's less than a sixth or above a sixth, harehu, it's treated kishim hadiyonim. That the Torah Daisha teaches us, the Chazal teach us a halacha, in Masechta Ksubos, daf kuf tes amabeis, where somebody passed away, and there was property which was left over for the Yisoyimim, and that property had to be sold in order to satisfy a debt that the Yisoyimim have to pay, such as obligation to provide mezonos for the father's amana or the daughters of their father. And the halacha requires that the land being sold must be evaluated by 3 dayanim before being offered for sale to make sure that the Yisoyimim get the full value of their land. Because as the Gemara over there explains quite extensively, Chazal were concerned that the Yisoyimim aren't able to properly take care of themselves. And because they're not able to properly take care of themselves, who's going to make sure that they get the fair value of the property? The Gemara over there quotes a machloikis. What happens if the Dayanim made a mistake? But the mistake was not significant. This property was loaned. The opinion of Chum is the opinion that our Gemara is speaking, that the sale stands only if the mistake was less than a sixth of the land's value. If, however, the mistake was a sixth or more, the whole sale is nullified. So says the Gemara, says the Braisa, the case that we've been discussing in our shiur today, where property was sold by Simonov or Meitzarov, Hareu Kishum Adayonim. These two halachas are treated the same. And the halach is, Higioi, that if it's less than a sixth, the steal stands. But ask the Gemara, when we learned the halacha of the Dayonim, the making the mistake, the Shum Adayonim, the opinion of the Chum is, the Shtus, Kiyosim Shtusu, that if the mistake was exactly a six, it's treated as greater. So this Braisa is clearly in teaching us that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. What will Rav Huna do with this Braisa? Amalach Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says, U letameich, and according to your explanation, why is this Braisa? Rav Huna is saying to Rav Yehuda, there are many different pshatim in the Rishonim how to learn this Gemara, but this is the way we're going to learn. Rav Huna says to Rabbi Yehuda, and according to you, this Braisa is not difficult. Higiyaktani, the Braisa says that if there was a shtus, the deal is a good deal. But we just learned that the deal is a deal. But by Dayanim, we said that if there's a mistake, the whole deal gets voided. So how can we say that Braisa is that Braisa follows the opinion of the Chachamim? The opinion of the Chachamim is that when there's an exact mistake of a sixth, that the halacha is that the deal is voided. And yet the Braisa says that here, higiyoi, that the deal stands, but you just have to pay up for the discrepancy. So how do we say that the two halachas are the same? What must be said? The way we have to learn, and there's a very big machlokes if we should insert the word Ella or not, kishuma dayanim, like kishuma dayanim. To some degree, the halacha of a sale, where you said kisimonov umetzarov, it's treated like the case of when the dayanim made an assessment, but not in all circumstances. What is the Gemara explains itself. Kishuma dayanim l'shtos, regarding both of them, the halacha is a shtos. Over there, the halacha will be batla mekach. If there's a mistake, it's disqualified. The deal stands. And just like the Bryce is saying that the halacha is that by both of them, there's a shtus. And just the difference is that here, the sale stands. And there, the sale stands. Here, the sale won't stand. So according to this, the way the Gemara is explaining Rav Huna is that Rav Huna said that the Braisa rules that in the case of a mistake of a six, the sale stands without adjustment, where Rav Yehuda says that it requires adjustment. So, and he's saying that that's what the Braisa is still suggesting, but it doesn't, and Rav Yehuda is not being answered. Says the Gemara, Rav Papa Zavan Aram Hugavra, Rav Papa's bought a piece of property from somebody, Amalei, and the seller told the buyer, having Asran Garve, that the size of this property is 20 saw. Mashche, and he measured it, Lehav al Chamesra, and he discovered that it's only 15 saw. Osla Kamei Dabaya, so they came to Abaya to decide what should be done. Amalei, so Abaya said to him, Savit Vekiblet, you knew that it was that size, and you took it upon yourself, and the deal stands. Ask the Gemara, ask the Papa, Vatanan, have we not just learned in the Mishnah, Pachs Mishtos Higiyoy, that if it's less than a sixth, the deal stands. Ad Shtos, but if it's a Shtos, more than a Shtos, you have to pay up for this discrepancy. So how are you ignoring what we learned in our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, so Abaye responded, it's when the buyer is not 100% certain of what he got himself into. So if he's not 100% certain of what he got himself into, that's when we have the sheer, the numbers of our Mishnah. In our case, where he knew what he was getting into, Savar V'kibol, he accepted upon himself. And since he accepted upon himself, Savar V'kibol, even if it's more than a sixth. Says the Gemara, but how can we ignore the outright lie that was said here? For Esrin Amrlei, he told him it's 20 Amos and was only 15. How could that be ignored? Amrlei, so Abaye said, what he meant to say was that even though it's only 15, but this is such a good piece of property, the Adifika Esrin, it's as good as 20. And what Abaye says, and the way to understand, a sort of Yad Rama explains what Abaye means to say. What Abaye means to say is that the question that Abaye is being posed is when somebody says, I'm selling you a property that is 20, but it's really 15. And he says to him, but it's as good as 20 because it's such a quality piece of property. How does the halacha look at that? Does the halacha look at that, that he only meant it just to praise his property? But everybody does that. But it doesn't mean to indicate that it's really that. Or are we to look at it? Or are we to look at it that he really meant that he really meant it? And the buyer really understood that that's what he accepted. And that's why the halacha is he accepted it the way it is and the deal stands. Tanya, Rabbi Yosef Omer, Ho'achin Shecholku. That means a father passed away, and the brothers are dividing the Yerusha that the father left. Kivan Sha'ala Garel Echemahem, and the way they're dividing the Yerusha is with a Garel, with a lottery. They divided up the properties, and they did a Garel. So says the Mishnah, Kivan Sha'ala, says the Gemara, Kivan Sha'ala Garel Echemahem, as soon as one of them gets his portion in the property through a gyral, kana kulam. That makes that everybody gets gyral. And of course, this halacha is regarding all, not just brothers. This is the same halacha by partners that is dissolving the partnership, dividing up the property. There is a machlokes rishonim. What does it mean, kana kulam? The pashut pshat in kana kulam is that all of the brothers, as soon as the first brother picks out his piece, then all the other brothers, also the gyral goes into effect. And since the brothers follow the gyral. Others say that only the brothers who picked out and accepted what it says in the gyral are the ones that are going to get their share, not the brothers who didn't participate. And the way to understand the Gemara, my Tama, says the Gemara, because we, in other words, the Gemara's question is, from where do we see that a gyral is effective? Says the Gemara, Amar Belozer Ketchilas Etz Yisrael, just like Etz Yisrael was divided with a gyral, there was the process we're going to learn actually in Amasechta, was that Elozer HaKoyin was wearing the Urim Metumim, and Yeshua and all of Klal Yisrael, or their representative, was standing there, and there were names of the Shvatim, and names of the Etz Yisrael's areas divided up, and Zvulun, and then the Ruach HaKodesh announced that this portion of Etz Yisrael goes to this Shevet in the north and the south, but it was all done through a gyral. The Chavis Yor says that as Etz Yisrael was divided with a gyral, since the Pasuk says, Api HaGyral Techolik HaAretz, somebody, the Chavis Yor uses very sharp words. He says, "Va'over al gairul." If somebody violates the gairul, "Ka'over al aseres adibris." We view it as somebody who violated the aseres adibris, because he says, "Kareinu min atayrim min avim and aksuvim shasam chal gairul." That there are episodes in all of Tanakh where we relied on a gairul. Kashenasa b'li machshavas adam, when it was done without any people doing anything wrong, a pulus enesh mitzad achachmas. Ach begoyrol techol ka'aretz. And that's what the Pasuk says. In other situations, he says, when there was a question in the time of Yeshua based on who used the things that they got from the city of Yericho, they decided to be a goyrol. A goyrol, he says, is considered extremely, extremely reliable. So there's a very fundamental question. Now that we're learning about the power of a gyral, what does that mean that the Gemara says that the gyral konakulam affects a kenyan? The Torah, quoting the Rosh, says it's not that the gyral is like a kenyan. We've learned so many times in our shiurim about kenyanim. A gyral is not a kenyan. A gyral is merely a method of designating who is going to get what. And therefore, according to the Rosh, the gyral alone doesn't give you ownership. The gyral has to be followed up with a kenyan. That the Shvus Yaakov says that he says it depends on what type of gyral. If the gyral gives specific portions to each person, that means, as we just said by the division of Etz Yisrael, that the gyral says you're going to get this portion of Etz Yisrael, and you're going to get this portion of Etz Yisrael, then it's 100% binding. But if all the gyral accomplishes is that if we have a number of people, and the gyral is here to tell us who's going to get the first pick and who's going to get the second pick, that needs a kenyan behind it. The Rashbam, as we said, says if there are more than two partners, then the gyral is binding. After the first partner draws a lot, only on the party who drew the lot. That means the parcel that he's getting based on his picking that lot belongs to him and he can't retract. However, what about the rest of the property? Again, we have more than one more person that's supposed to get property here. So it says the rest of the land is still jointly owned by the other people until they draw their lots. But, and they have, and they, at that point, according to Rashbam, again, to keep the case simple, if we'll start with three people and the dividing land up with a Goyrel, and according to the Rashbam, the first person picks up his lot, so he's in, he's finished. This is his. Now the question is, there are two people left, and there are two parcels left. So according to the Rashbam, until they go ahead and pick their Goyrel, there's nothing happened. And they could say, we're not dividing it, we're not following a Goyrel. The Rashba disagrees, and he says, we look at the wording of the Gemara. The wording of the Gemara is Kana Kulam. And the Gemara says that once, what the Gemara means to say, according to the Rashbam, is once the first person picked his share, everybody else's share also, once, of course, they're going to pick it up, it's going to make it work for all of them. And the Gemara is saying, from where do we learn the power of a Goyer? From the division of Eretz Yisrael. So ask the Gemara, Ima lahalan beklapi, just like over there, as we described, there was a Goyrel, but there was also the Ur of Etumim asserting that this division is correct. So how can we say that a Goyrel is effective? Afkan, it should only be effective beklapi the Ur of Etumim, when we have the Goyrel connected with the Ur of Etumim. Answers the Gemara, Amar Ashi. The reason the Goyrel is effective, even though we don't have a Urim V'Tumim, says the Gemara, but who are not the Kotzais L'Adodi? The fact that they all entered into this agreement and they are agreeable to follow what the Goyrel says, that affects a Kinyan. V'Gamri U'Makni L'Adodi, that makes the Kinyan work, even if there is no Urim V'Tumim. So the Rashbam says that, and I saw this beautiful pshat from the Nesiva Shalom, from the Slonim Rebbe. He says that, what are we learning? He's saying that when they divided at the Yisrael, they had two parts. They had the Goyrel and they had the Urim V'Tumim. When we divide up a property, so the Gemara is saying, when dividing the brothers, the partners, are dividing up the property, we have the Goyrel. We obviously don't have the Urim V'Tumim. But says the Nesiva Shalom, what we do have instead of the Goyrel, instead of the Urim V'Tumim, is the fact that they all want to be able to get along. And says the Nesiva Shalom, when Jews want to get along, that is the equivalent of the Urim V'Tumim. We don't have to have more. The fact that they all want to get along accomplishes the same as the Urim V'Tumim. A very nice pshat. But of course, Reb Chaim Brisker says that the Gemara really hasn't answered the question. Yes, we were able to answer it up Pidrush, but it doesn't really answer the question that the precedent for a Goyrel is learned from when they divided up in Eretz Yisrael. And when they divided up Eretz Yisrael, they had the Urim V'Tumim. And of course, by every other Goyrel, we don't have the Urim V'Tumim. So how could that become the precedent? So says Reb Chaim Brisker, there's a misunderstanding. He says, it's not that the Urim V'Tumim were there to be used to divide up Eretz Yisrael. The Urim V'Tumim weren't there to divide up Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was divided, as the Pasuk says, Al Pi HaGoyrel Tichalek Haaretz. All the Urim V'Tumim did was to give them that confidence that what they're doing is correct, and that the Goyrel is something that they should feel comfortable following. But it's not here in any way to mean that the Goyrel, that the Urim V'Tumim are what was necessary. The Pasuk in Parashas Maaseh says, "Lo shi'etz shama Goyrel lo yiyah." Rashi on that Pasuk says, "Mikra katzuzeh." The Pasuk is sort of abbreviated. It explains what the Pasuk means to say, "Al makom shi'etz lo sham haGoyrel lo yiyah." So What is Rashi trying to say? So the Sefer Magid Teluma explains that Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz HaTzvi. The reason the Gemara Masechta Gittin says, why is Eretz Yisrael called Eretz Tzvi? Because a deer has a very interesting characteristic. When you take off the skin of a deer and you would try to put it back on the deer, it wouldn't fit. It wouldn't be enough. Similarly, Eretz Yisrael shrinks to the size of what we need it to be when the amount of people are there. But when and that's how all of us will be able to fit into Eretz Yisrael when Mashiach comes, Meheri Imenu, because Eretz Yisrael will expand. And that's what Rashi is saying to say, that Mikra Katsuhuzah, the Pasuk is speaking about a time and a place, says Rashi, when Eretz Yisrael is Katsur, when Eretz Yisrael is much smaller than it really needs to be, because there aren't as many Jews entering as we're going to have when Eretz Yisrael comes, Behir B'Yameinu. And when Eretz Yisrael comes, when Mashiach comes, Mitzvashem, Behir B'Yameinu, and everybody in Mitzvashem will go to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to need a much larger, we're going to have to do the girl all over again, because Eretz Yisrael will be much larger than it is today. Itmar. So continues the Gemara, Shnei Achim Shecholku, and we have two brothers who are divided up the property. They were under the assumption that they are the only two brothers here. And then what happened was, after they went through this entire process of dividing the property, Bolan Mimdina Siyam, another brother shows up. And the question is, what do we do now? Rav Amar Batla Machlokes, Rav says that the whole girl falls apart. The girl was done by mistake. It was done erroneously. They thought that they only had two brothers, and they ended up having three brothers, and therefore the halacha is that we do it all over again. Rav Amar Batla Machlokes, Shmuel Amar Mekamtzim. That means every one of the brothers has to take off a portion. That's the way the Rashbam learns. Everybody who got a share has to take off a little from what he got to make the brother get a third. Amalei, Rav L'Rav Nachman. L'Rav Amar Batla Machlokes, according to Rav, that says that by the brother now showing up, we undo the entire girl, Alma. So according to this, we clearly see, Hadadina, that a division that was done without the third party agreeing, if it was done under false pretenses, we have to start all over again. Elamata, if that's the case, Hanibay Tlisa the Klaimi. You have three brothers, three partners. And Ozbe Triminayu Polit. And two of the partners, or two of the brothers, divided up the land with a Goyrel. And the third partner, the third brother, wasn't aware of it. So are we going to say, ask the Gemara, Hachinamid Batla Machlaikis? Of course not. They went to Besdin. They represent the majority of people involved in this case, two of three, and therefore the deal is a good deal. So why over here, when we had two brothers dividing it through a geirul, and now, yes, the third brother shows up, so why should that change anything? Answers the Gemara, Hachi Ashta, we can't compare the two cases. Hasam, in our case, where we were not aware of the third brother's existence, Nechisi Adata de Beit Losa Hasam, in that case, we knew that there's a third partner. The Nechisi Adata de Beit Losa Mikar, we knew there was a third partner. He didn't want to participate. And we don't have to get his agreement if the majority feels differently. But here, when the goyul was done in our Gemara, in this case, when the third brother, we weren't aware of him, we never knew he existed. So now, and that's why, if we weren't aware of his existence, we can't just say that he has to accept that the other two wanted to do a goyul. Omle Rapopal Abaya, L'Shmul, the Amar Mekamtzim, according to Shmuel, that says that the deal stands. And all we have to do is give the third brother, the two other brothers have to give him something that he should be satisfied. Lememra, does that mean that the kum dina, that somebody gets something that he wasn't deserving? This case, when the girl was done, it was done under wrong pretenses because they were supposed to divide it in three, not in two. Lememra the kum dina, when it was done wrong, it still stands. Says the Gemara of Rav Shmuel Amar Tavayu, if somebody said, Kor b'shloshim ani moichalach, example that we speak often about, I'm selling you a whole kor for 30 sloyim, the halacha is, He could back off by the third, even as long as he didn't get the entire amount, the deal doesn't happen. If he said, kar b'shloishim saw b'sela ani meichelach, so there, each saw is a separate unit, and the halacha is rishon, every one of the saw is viewed as a separate thing. So we see that as if there's a deal that was done improperly, just the halacha is that even though they didn't get the whole 30 saw, but what they got should be okay. Yet Rav and Shmuel both agree that the whole, if you didn't get everything that you were supposed to, that means the pretenses weren't completely accurate, then we don't follow this. Answers the Gemara, as we've learned previously. This is a special rule. Why, if they agreed to sell 30 and they didn't deliver 30, why everything is redone? Because there is a new rule. Hasa over Rabbanim milsa the nichalei la meicher v'nichalei l'kayach. Chazal made it that the buyer and the seller, in that case, should be able to walk away. And as the Rashba explains, what the Gemara means to say is that because we know that's what the buyer and seller would want, that they, if they agree to buy a whole lot, a whole unit, so they both are saying that until we get that whole unit, we don't want that there should be a deal here. If two people are entering into transaction and they've made it into clear that this is what they want, their halach is we follow what they want. But that doesn't have anything to do with our Gemara, where the two brothers were there and they didn't know about the third brother altogether. So our Gemara has been speaking quite extensively about a geirel. And the question is, how does the halacha look at geirels? The Shalos HaTshuvos Beis Shlaima discusses a situation with the two brothers whose father left over a very expensive Sefer Torah. There was a very famous cipher. His name was Ramoshim Perzhvarsk, a very famous, great cipher. And the father had a Sefer Torah that was written by the cipher Ramoshim Perzhvarsk. And one brother had it, and now they just needed to decide what to do with it. So they agreed that they would make a geirel. One would get the Sefer Torah, and the other one would have to pay the brother who lost a very significant sum of money. They made the geirel in a certain fashion. The Beis Shlaima over there describes the entire way of the geirel. And the brother who was actually holding on to the Sefer Torah till they made the geirel lost it. Let's say his name was Reuven, and he gave it over to his brother Shimon, and Shimon was supposed to give him the agreed upon sum of money. After a while, Reuven said that if we want to judge the geirel properly, it wasn't done properly, and therefore I want the geirel to be done again. And the other brother says that the geirel was done as we agreed upon. You can't start suggesting that the geirel should be nullified. Says, and he also wanted to say that since he was holding on to the Sefer Torah all along, the fact that should give him that he's a muchzik in the Sefer Torah, and he shouldn't have to give up the geirel. So it really touches what we spoke about before. Does a geirel give you ownership? And does the brother who want the geirel automatically become the owner of the Sefer Torah? Or it only says that the one brother should give it to the other brother? Because the Beis Shlaima says, if the geirel gives ownership to the brother that won, so now he's the muchzik. Otherwise, he may not be considered the muchzik until he actually gets the Sefer Torah. Now the question is, so now we speak about geirel, and there are many times that there are Chinese lotteries or different geirels, different lotteries. Is it appropriate for a person to participate in them? We know that The Gemara often speaks about a Masach Bekuvya, somebody who's a gambler. The Gemara speaks about a gambler being Pasul Eidus, that he's not qualified as an aid. So if somebody participates in a Geirul, is it considered like he's a gambler? On one hand, it could be that they're considered gamblers. On the other hand, an argument could be made that they're not considered gamblers because, as Al Gemara just indicated, everybody went into this deal up front. So the Shaila Shetshuvos Rav Pa'olim discusses the Shaila, and he also quotes the Chavos Yoar that we quoted during the Shir, where the Chavos Yoar spoke about the power of the Geirul. He says that in a case where, for example, a number of people make a Geirul, what was the Geirul that's spoken about there? That a number of people all put down money, and whoever wins the Geirul is going to get the entire money. He says that may be considered Masach Bekuvya, that's really gambling. He says that, but then he wants to suggest that when we have this type of lottery that we just said, so I'm losing money that I put down on the table, and whoever wins the Geirul is going to get my money. But if we have like a lottery where everybody's paying a dollar and they could win the lottery, that is not that I'm taking directly money from somebody else. There's a fund, and the fund is funded, and that fund does a lottery. He wants to suggest that that may be considered a different situation altogether. The Shaila Shetshuvos Chavos Yoar speaks about a case where a geirul was done amongst the number of people over there. Was talking about a silver cup, and then it turns out that the geirul was not done properly. One of the names of the people who were supposed to participate in the geirul, his name was left out. So the Chavos Yoar says that whatever a geirul was done improperly, where it wasn't done the way the geirul was supposed to be done, then the halacha is that the geirul is not considered a valid geirul. For example, he gives an example that there was a geirul that was done on the silver cup that we just mentioned, and there were a lot of pieces of paper put into a basket, and one piece of paper had the word Mazel Tov on it. And the person who picks that piece of paper wins the geirul. And then it was discovered that there were really two pieces of paper that said Mazel Tov. So it doesn't make a difference. He says once the geirul was not done the way the halacha was supposed to be, the way the geirul was supposed to be done, then the halacha is that the geirul becomes invalid. Another case is that the Shuki Chemet says there was a geirul that was done, and then it turns out that one of the people who was participating in the geirul was a non-Jew. And the question is, does that invalidate the geirul? Because the question is, how do we view the effectiveness of a geirul? Do we say, as the Chavos Yoar taught us when we learned the Shir, that the effectiveness of a geirul is because the Torah says, Ach b'geirul yicholek aretz, and the Torah is telling us that a geirul is considered a legitimate means of a kinyan for us, but that could be, it's a halacha only for us. It's not a halacha for Akum. For Akum, it would not be a legitimate way of affecting the kinyan. And therefore, if it's not a legitimate way of affecting a kinyan for Akum, then the Akum's participation in the geirul would invalidate the geirul. It also is connected to the question that we just discussed. How does the halacha view what a geirul accomplishes? If we say that the halacha views that the geirul accomplishes, that the halacha views that the geirul accomplishes a kinyan, so then an argument can be made that just as we've discussed many kinyanim, there are certain kinyanim that are only effective for Yisraelim and not effective for Akum. But if the way we look at a geirul, it's not that the geirul should be viewed that it's only effective as a means of kinyan, but as the Rosh said, that after we do the geirul, the person still has to do a kinyan. So the Gairal isn't really speaking to a Kenyan. And therefore the limitations that we say that certain Kenyanim only work for Yisraelim, not for Akum, would not be a consideration. But the Chashuki Chemet adds one more concept. He says, whenever we speak about Kenyanim, there's something known as Kenyan Sesmas Saw, which means that if there's a way that a Kenyan, if it's an acceptable way in the world, that this is the way a Kenyan is done, that makes it into a valid Kenyan. Like if in society a handshake represents a Kenyan, so then a handshake is a Kenyan. If in the world that we live in, Gairal, lottery, has become an acceptable method of dividing things and making things and designating who owns what, so then it's no worse than a Kenyan to Smita, and even though a Nachri was part of the Gairal, it will certainly be valid.